Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I take the opportunity in welcoming everybody to this very important meeting. This meeting is seen as a major meeting for NCOP members. Our first meeting from 2014, select committee on the economic and business development. Ladies and gentlemen, before we start, in terms of our own in-house things, introducing ourselves and so on, may I give you 5 minutes. 5 minutes, the time now, I think it's about 6 minutes past 10. At 17 minutes past 10, we'll start the meeting. I'd like you to rest in a cup of tea, coffee, make yourself comfortable, so that we can start our meeting in order and fashion. I know that everybody else will follow suit so that we are organized. Those who are not organized, organize yourselves so that we start as 20%. Thank you. Who's here in the room
Everybody that we speak, so that I can never have to speak to other person. But anyway, all meetings are open to the public and everybody else. But at least just to know each other. Thank you very much. My name is Lito, Sanyu Suka. I'm from the Eastern Cape, from PE, Portland. Thank you very much. Any other member to follow suit?
Thanks, Chair. My name is Junior from Trader. I'm a member of the Slate School.
Thank you.
My name is Juan Cuena.
In touch, please.
Okay. My name is Juan Cuena. I'm from the Free States. And I represent the Economic Free of Finance.
U.S. Vauda from Pumalanga, EFF, and I greet all of you with a salam alaikum.
My name is Oyster Timonya, I'm from Pumalanga.
I'm Lena Kayla from Eastern Cape.
He uses my mic and he puts it off. I'm Eddie Makue and I'm from Fontaine representing the
Any other member?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My name is Makue Ali. I'm from the Book of Common. Thank you.
Morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Gibbard. My name is Jacques Lund and I'm from the West Cape.
Morning, Chairperson. I'm Elder van Lingen and I'm from the Eastern Cape.
Any other members? Staff member 2, can you look at the council that we know which we know you are? Does that tell you of who's photo? So that we know each other.
Morning, everyone. My name is Pilot Gong. I'm the committee secretary. Thank you.
Morning, members, and official of the department, and the deputy minister. My name is Dr. Musashu, Cornell and Pilot of the committee.
Good morning, my name is Oshun Otenezo, the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Tepo Makai. I'm the researcher for the committee.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Yoruba Landra. I'm from the communication and media faculty for the committee.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think we can introduce ourselves from the NCP. We will also, at least also ask the members to know each other more. Can we respect them put here to lead us from his side? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe to repeat again, I'm Adala Masuku. I'm the Deputy Minister of Economic Development. I'm with the DG, Jimmy Schreiner, and apology from the Minister, who was supposed to be with me here today, and he had to leave because the consent called him for an urgent meeting, for an urgent briefing. I'll ask the DG just to go to all the members that we have here, otherwise I'll be missing them and mixing their names, but I'm still you in the chat. Thank you.
Chairperson, pretty much having been introduced, I'm actually going to suggest that people introduce themselves so that you can also hear the voices of each of the people concerned. I'll hand over to our speaker.
Good morning, members. My name is Sandipi Gwesterday, CFO.
Good morning. My name is Mohamed Walza. I'm the Chief Director of Investment and Development.
Morning, Professor. I'm Nomkos Mamabulo, PLO, in the office of the DA. And I'm traveling in the office.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Wendy Mapira. I'm an economic planner in the Department of Economic Development.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Hello, I'm Wendy Mapira. I'm from Catholic Parliament in the ASMR. I do research in the commercial land. The Catholic Parliamentary Liaison Office. We're just across the road behind the church there.
Because I have the PLO there, and we are also PLO, but from the Catholic.
Yes, from the Catholic Church.
Oh, thank you.
both your ladies?
Sorry, hands up, PMG. Parliamentary Mountain Group.
Some of the spoken, huh?
There's one lady.
Thank you very much for that. We'll know each other in the process because we're here for 58 months. And for the next couple of months and so on. Without wasting time, ladies and gentlemen, I want to press that initially I thought I was going to start with our own internal matter, the minutes, but we'll take the agenda this time. We are here for economic development, for economic business development. We get the accreditation from departments as far as their budget, goods, and the plan, and the annual performance plan. We'll give over the department, and thereafter they will share presentation in full. Then thereafter members will have notes where you want to have clarity, specific questions and so on. So that at the end of the presentation, members will be allowed to put some questions and the department will respond. I would want to give the department a couple of time, an hour. Okay, we'll assess the situation in terms of the presentation. So that also from our side, we've got ample of time to ask everybody, because we're dealing with the backbone of the country, economy. We would want to know. And our approach to this is going to normally work for us. What you say, we test it on the ground. And it's not about this one. The select committee is later. We have to go to provinces, to municipalities, to benchmark what you said as against what is there on the ground. So I'm saying we have a lot of time for those things. Honesty is the best policy, so that we understand whether we are taking the chance for us. With those few words, I'll allow the DM as the leader of the delegation. Maybe you want to say something before we go keep over to the DG, Monje.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity that we have got here to present and set up a framework of our performance in the next 9 months. We are always led to call by this committee because it's more of the constituents. It's a constituency represented. It speaks to the people on the floor. And it assists us to also assess ourselves where we are and where the information might not be correct. We get corrected in a way. It's not my first time to interact with the committee before, although I'm my first time in the National Assembly. I've been having a stint with the committee interacting with for some time in my previous life, the last 10 years. We are coming to present to you the APP of the department. What we do to say the committee's time is that for the minister, we normally present and just give the context and show and clear off so that members just fit to the document up to the end. And we are doing that with an intention that we should make the members. I mean, the documents be readable and to be understood what angle are we coming from. So, in our presentation, we'd like to give, we'll start with giving a context of why the APP looks like that and why we say it looks like we say. One say to members we are saying that since the establishment of the department in the last term, there are legislative policy planning and legislative framework that has been established. And the National Development Plan and Vision of the Development Vision of the country. the national growth path as an economic policy of the government, as well as representing an industrial implementation plan. And then, of course, now Parliament also has an infrastructure development plan. And out of this, all these policies, we managed to establish the growth drivers which are going to guide us to move forward. And also, out of them, in the past year term, government was able to roll out and test these drivers through the implementation of the infrastructure program. Now that that experience, we have a lot of experience, and it has made us to shape the way in which we think that when we implement things are going to assist us to move forward. What are these growth drivers that we want to talk about? These are the ones that we are mentioning here. All these issues that we're mentioning in this, without just going to them one by one. These are growth drivers that speak to the six, the infrastructure activities that have been implemented in the previous term, and we've learned out of it. And these are geographical themes, service delivery themes, the social themes, and all of them some of them are knowledge themes, and all of them are assisting us to break the social development of the past and set us into a forward trajectory. I guess the members have heard there's a lot of say around issues around methods that we deal with around mining cars in the Congo, the establishment of new settlement, logistics in terms of your railway in terms of the railway and the logistics for transport. We have had a lot of issues around the municipal infrastructure and so forth, water and so on. We have had a lot of around the energy around issues around Dupi and in our in the province that come from without BRT systems, including the one that we are having now rolling out, and the fact that is beginning to make an impact in Cape Town now, the introduction of transport system. The public infrastructure that includes public and social infrastructure, which includes your schools, your hospitals, university, and so on. The knowledge base one, the SKS, where kilometer, and then also on water and sanitation. So these are the kind of infrastructure that has been the area of infrastructure that has been identified. And they are called SIP because they are called strategic infrastructure programs. And why are they like that? It's because you don't speak about one area of work. You cluster all issues related to that. So they come as the strategic infrastructure program. So out of this experience here, we have learned a lot of things. And one of these lessons that we have learned out of the implementation of this infrastructure is that it has taught us to place silos in government. You don't have economic development in this point which can go around and another one is doing something as the. We focus and we pick up these issues and all of us collaborate, cluster, and we deal with all the methods. It also allows us to focus on the outcome. Like when you say we are going for energy, you are not going all over the place. You focus on your military, you focus on your facility, and you conclude that before you actually go anywhere. So it actually assists you to focus on specific areas. And then it assisted us to realize that you can't implement any program without the monitoring and evaluation mechanism in place, and that even on the implementation, no matter how old the plan is beautiful, it requires people who much out of that monitoring to take immediate action and unblocking. You don't just give report in terms of monitoring of your performance, but you must unblock, we must have mechanism to unblock or unblocking constraints during implementation. And those constraints may be policy related and related to the issue and otherwise such bureaucratic constraints. And that is to ask that implement program, that's what we should have. It also assisted us to see that it's important to have a long range pipeline planning, feasibility, financing, skilling and technology. And I know that the members will very soon will be asking us, where are you with MPP, where are you with this? And why are you stalled? Why are the things changing? That is the issue that you can sort out. That as you implement, you begin to pick up things that any project that you carry forward into the future must have a clear long-range pipeline planning with every aspect addressed. Because if you address it even before you complete the second, you will always see this the best and worst in the implementation. We have also seen that it's important to have serious coordination within yourself so that to avoid a lot of wastage. You know, your horizontal coordination with the various departments of the same nature, and also your vertical from your province and your local level. Those are things that we have learned. We also have learned that you can't do anything without partnership beyond yourself, you know, each other, beyond the government, beyond the government, and also beyond even a sector as government, even beyond business. So those dialogues are assisted us to know. So beyond here, we then came up with a different way of dealing with things. And all of these things are actually going to inform our APP and what is going to make it different from the previous APP that we actually had yesterday here. So what is it that we are saying? Is that it has been informed by the context that we just outlined? And it also has been informed by lessons of experience from the infrastructure. And our approach now also in the field 10, that we have to have a radical in our economic transformation has also influenced even some of the ways, the areas that we need to treat out. This radical change to us, we understood it as ensuring that anything that we do must be informed by a clear vision, and that's what we're going to present, clear objectives, outcomes, and outputs that must be achieved through a set of KPIs that the members can understand with ease, not a cluster of sentences of things that are going to be. And that's what is going to happen. Make it different. The other thing that makes it different is that we have political and managerial oversight. Political internally and political in terms of briefing a portfolio committee and select committee in order to hold us responsible in relation to things that we have stressed to the committee. And what is it that is informing it? Is that it is informed by, as we said, what is it that is informs our APP? The planning system that seeks to achieve the NDP vision, and also NDP vision that has got a set of plans that need to be followed, that has been set up the National Growth Act, your national infrastructure plan, your industrial policy action plan, and all the ones are actually set out in our MTSF, our target provider. So we're talking about an NDP that is talking 20 years, we've got an MTSF that is talking about 5 years, and now in the department, we then have to focus on the things that we're supposed to be doing, which are outlined in outcome 4 and outcome 6, which deal with inclusive growth and infrastructure. So this is within our preview, and this APC speak to that. And we are concentrating on the things that have been allocated by the MTSF for the next 5 years. There we are. This is what we are saying. after the MTS has officially outlined the things that we should do, the strategic plan of the department that is for projecting 5 years must be to the MTS, and that's what we presented to the committee. And our APP identifies annual targets, and it provides, these annual targets, we believe that it provides a basis for accountability, for our legislative accountability, not for the implementation only, but we think that also for the budget management that you have given us. I want to put a disclaimer out of experience of the past, that we have learned that economic environment are not static. And sometimes EDD is expected to deviate given a particular environment. But we only deviate in the interest of economic stability when the economic environment dictates otherwise from the current situation. And from time to time, get to bring the committee of parliament and the proposal of the committee and the select committee. That arise, we don't have to use now. The APP has been revised to reflect the MTSF approved by the cabinet, and a revised MTSF called for few adjustments in our strategic plan. And we would want to indicate to the members that the strategic plan, currently it holds the thrust of what we're supposed to do and speaks to what we want to do, would like to have it a little bit tweaked to comply with certain regulations to cater for the issues that have been brought about by the MTS. We are also guided in our mandate by the Infrastructure Development Act, the ITC Act, the Competition Act, and the ITEC Act. The department has got four core business organizational components. One speaks to the policy development economy, and the other one speaks to the planning and coordination, and the third one speaks to social dialogues, and the last one speaks to the infrastructure, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Commission technical unit that is out in the department. Components are allocated KPIs, all of them. All these areas are allocated KPIs to lead through collaboration and across the various programs. The departmental APP then for 2014 is that it identifies priorities for, it's based on the mandate of the department, which has got to do with identifying priorities for job creation, inclusive growth, and industrialization. And I want to repeat this and talk to this and talk a little bit and clarify, because there's always in a confusion. What is our mandate? Our mandate is to prioritize and identify priorities for job creation, inclusive growth, and industrialization. So what it means is that we don't go and do directly all these things. We don't go and carry out this project. What it means is that we sniff where the jobs are. We sniff where the growth is. And then we come and indicate in relation to the MTSF, to indicate in the collective environment where exactly we should emphasize, put in our efforts. And the framework that allow us to align the state efforts in the realization of that. We also then oversee and provide strategic actions to all DSIs, and also oversee and provide strategic direction in competition policy and trade administration. So if you look at this as a key mandate, in terms of our roles, is the alignment of all the whole government and the whole and the DSI effort in trying to meet our goal of a job creation and inclusive growth. We what is it that the department, where are we coming from? What is it that has been accomplished in the last 5 years, and why why do we suggest, why is the road champion? We are indicating to the committee that since the establishment of the ministry in 2009, just immediately when it was established, we were faced with an economic crisis, which was close to recession. And the department was expected to coordinate a response in this regard and come up with immediate action to deal with that. That's typical of a an issue that I was commenting on earlier on, that while we have got an APP, we sometimes have to say, because of this situation, we have to have a whole focus just on that to save our country from going down the drain, which we have done actually very successfully. The other thing that we did was to develop a new growth path based on that experience, and that's the growth path that we've been speaking about at this idea. We also have identified the public entity that must be transferred to support our work, and we will speak to them later. And we then established a functional department based on all the issues that have been, the things that we have been identified about. Develop a capacity to monitor concerns, and we also then align the government work to the national growth path. We can focus on job drivers. Also focus IDC, Competition and Trade Commission, which are part of the six entities that are needed to be transferred now. We then aligned those three in terms of the main focus of government. Then also managed to bring in a number of players, social players, where we came up with social accords on key national growth on key growth path areas, and then we launched an infrastructure plan and support for PICC. In our work, we also we collaborate in this manner together with them, with the cabinet and cabinet ministers, And we also have a department, like I said, in government that they coordinate outcome for, which has got to do with inclusive growth. There is an economic sector and infrastructure cluster that assists us with an infrastructure cluster that assists in terms of making sure that each and everyone, every player in the infrastructure delivery has got a hand in the deck. We also have PICC, Residential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission structure, which is the council that is chaired by the president, and the MACO that is the council that is chaired by the president, and includes ministers and also premiers and executive mayors of strategic municipalities. And then we've got the MANC, where we've got the coordinating ministers sitting there to actually carry out tasks that come out of council. Secretariat is located in the Department of Economic Development for the purposes of identifying and tracing the progress, look at blockages, and ensuring that things are done in the grid. Also have been met that we interact with. What is it that we're asking for? We are asking Parliament and also the NCOP for the approval of a 697 million. What we want to do with it? We want to take 584 to the agencies that we've spoken to, and we want to take 163 to remain within the departmental programs as outlined there. You have got information, a lot of things that are supposed to happen, and you have only 697 and also have 153. I think members right now would have realized that we don't actually carry out the task. We should make sure that what has been decided that government happens, and also make sure that the social partners are actually participating. The other area which is actually carried out by our agencies, IDC ensures that there is industrialization and the financing of initiatives for industrialization. And we have got Competition Commission that is ensuring that the fair play, there is inclusive participation within the economy. We have got ICEC that is also ensuring that our international trade is happening within the fair environment. And what is it that it is looking at? Your commission look at your competitive prices that you don't have inflation you should have had in the past, the talk of the price prices, issues around South Wall. All those issues are actually handled at that particular I tell you when we trade that we don't get change. The laws are actually looked at in the interest of the country. For example, when we say our product should be beneficiated at a particular level, we can't then get somebody wants to export everything in this when we've got capacity to carry out some of those. Those are the things that they produce. So now, those are the things that are actually dealing with. What is it that we want to do with that man? We have set ourselves 5 strategic objectives. And out of the 5 strategic objectives, we have set 22 KPIs to respond to those objectives. And we want, out of those 22 KPIs, this committee to monitor us that those 154 outcomes and targets are met in the next 9 months. So that's what was presented in the committee. What are these KPIs? If you look at the program that we've been having, we'll be having objective number one, and this objective number one speaks to program one, and we haven't put in any KPI. The reason why we're not putting any KPI is that as it is, has got particular legislative framework for reporting. I mean, human resources and finances of the PFMA that directs you on how you should deal with that, and the auditor general handles that. So we just thought that we cannot repeat what the management report of the agency. So what we did then, we then moved on to objective number two. The objective number two, which has got to do with dealing with job drivers and inclusive growth program, industrialization, and social inclusion. And under the term, we've got 4 KPIs. And these KPIs are saying, as EDG, you must make sure that you develop information and monitoring data. That will assist all other players to make concrete decisions on what to do during corporate report. And we want in this year to take 2 job drivers and carry them out and use them as a case to assist the various players to have a lesson of experience to unlock how to unlock a project. KPI 2, we want to conduct 2 independent reviews of progress in the implementation of outcome 4. So we want to review the whole process, making use of those aspects that we have learned in the infrastructure, or the visibility of pay, or the financing of pay, or the skills well allocated, what the terms are projected over a long-term pipeline, what are the weaknesses that are there, so that we give back a feedback for them to be able to make use of them in the various areas of life on the economy. We want to deal with them, we also want to target 4 initiatives to strengthen implementation of the National Growth Act. Four initiatives in order to take that place. And then the fourth KPI, we want to complete 6 special provincial and local economic priorities. What we have realized when we were dealing with the last term is that we would solidify at the national level, but we wouldn't be able to be clear in terms of our contributions that come from the province and the quality of those plans at the provincial level, and also the local economic development plans at the local level. So that is an area of focus that we'll be looking at to ensure that we are maximizing all our efforts and all of them are aligned to achieve what it is that we want to achieve as a country. On objective number 3, on the coordination of infrastructure, we are going to be continuing to be a secretariat of the Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission. And what do we do there? We want to, we're going to give 60 quality progress reports on each 6 targets. Each 6 that we have mentioned there, and I've prepared this book for the interest of the booklet, for the sake of members to understand what this is all about. So we are going to be giving 60 progress reports, and we are also not only going to give them just the report to cabinet. In those areas where we believe that there are framework that assist us to take the processes forward, we will then under KPI6 and block and start fast track them. So identify states for the sake of the 9 months to ensure that they are unlocked based on our experiences of the past year. Those areas where we know that KPI that then talk to the code, coordinate implementation of cabinet decisions. So when the PICC sees 4 times, when they make decisions, they're not just going to be written and see them again when they come to me. By the time that they come to them, they'll be having and say, these are the issues that we've done, and they were done, and oh, there are these things that we have a policy decision on. We'll actually be able to direct them in that way. We want also to provide qualitative secretariat for the 20 meetings of the structures of the PICC. 20 meetings because you have four each for the 4 structures, the council, the mango, the secretariat, and the class of meetings. Strategic 4 on investments, we want to unblock 10 investment initiatives. Once you look around and say, here is an investment that has been staying for a long time and was supposed to be a job, going in and unlocking. The example that we can give is that here is Valda, here sitting here, there is a number of them that we've had. The one that I can actually remember now that we've already learned lessons are of that. We had a project in Ligua that needed just 20 million. To unlock it in order for it to move forward, in order for it to create jobs for people and in operation. It was just because of 20 million to pay and to pay deposit to Eskom. And then the team just went there and interacted with everyone that was supposed to be there and share them off. We also wanted to have something that had to do with Sandra in the road. And the team just went there and dealt with that. So those are things that we want to do, taking forward those experiences and create some of the things to move forward. We are going to provide strategic guidance to improve efficiency of our CFIs, our IGC, and all of them. But this efficiency has got also to do with our alignment to the drivers, the growth drivers, the strategic drivers. And in our KPI 11, we want to initiate 2 processes to measure and expand industrial funding available across the government and the GFI. So we have been funding industrial development. The municipality doing that, the province doing that, the that department doing that. But we have realized that we haven't evaluated that way to say where it is, what is happening to that, and that's what that we think that this year we should do in order to be able to put a mirror to all of us. So this is what is going to be, these are the things that we should be doing going forward. We will be looking at 2 initiatives to measure and facilitate development goals through industrial funding for women, youth, small business, black, industrial, township, enterprises, and rural development. We are going to look at a minimum of 2. Objective number 5, and it has got to do with the promotion of competition and trade and economic regulation. Here we just want to strengthen the admin efficiency of the ITER. In this case, and to make sure that also it's aligned to the work that we are doing and to the outcome that we want to have. We also want to evaluate and strengthen the job creation, inclusive growth, and development impact of these institutions. KPIs the engineer has got to do with the, we want to initiate process while building regulatory capacity and effective across the state. So we are not only going to look at what we have, we'll look across all other KPIs that are in the regulatory bodies and even across the, the MTSF requires that the department should conduct a review of all economic regulators and propose improvements. And so that's the reason that we have put in all the sets of things that we'll be doing in the course of this. The last objective, which is number six, will facilitate social dialogue and implement the social accord, is that they want to intervene to support local procurement of food. And we will be going to four, well, but only 9 months. So we'll only be looking at all initiatives to see what is it that what are the policies actually implementable and what are the improvements that we should do. We will also be looking at intervention to support green economy. Intervention to enhance skills development implementation of the skills support. Intervention to enhance youth employment skills and entrepreneurship. And then facilitate social partnership for sector and based economic development. So all these areas here, we've got social accord on them that have been adopted in the past. So it's not something that we are going to have meetings on implementing the agreement that we have with the social accord. We have just raised that the provincial coordination is very important. So we've got seven critical KPIs for which touches prognosis. And this relates to KPI 4 that has got to do with social and local and provincial initiatives for growth. We've been zooming on that to try to coordinate, as I indicated earlier on. We've got KPI 5 and 6 that have got to do with infrastructure. These infrastructures that have been identified at national level that sits in various provinces, as you know, they're in the various provinces. We like to have better coordination of that, and we know that this committee is actually strategically placed to give us even more feedback in relation to what you see in the various areas. But beyond that, we also want to pick up also other infrastructures that are carried out at that level in order to build up into the include it in our tools. 9 has got to do with the unblocking of the investment initiatives, as I indicated. There are a lot of bureaucracy and red tape that we have identified, like at the state level and even the local level, that is frustrating investment and the thing that we should be dealing with. We will deal also red tape and constraints, and then also facilitate issues of local procurement that is affecting the provinces, and facilitate the national and sectoral workplace economic development partnership. So those are the KPIs that we feel that are strong, that will actually be interacting with the various provinces that we are involved in. So in conclusion, I say, here are our 5 projects, objectives, and 25 key performance indicators in which we want the committee to oversight on, and the 154 targets that we want to achieve. We like to bring in quality information and focusing on quality information, better coordination. We'll be looking at a simple, well-targeted dashboard to monitor progress. We'll be looking at unblocking and frustrating projects and investment, and building strong partnerships. We will develop policies and plans to enhance implementation. But we think that the ones that we have that far, that give us a framework. And in a situation where if they arrive, we'll do that. Our APP covers 9 months of indicators. We will be reviewing our strategic objectives. We want to assure the committee that they respect the MTSS. Our new strategic plan for the EDP will be accordingly revised to reflect the MTSS. it is a challenging program for the department, but rather than the critical for the Media Institute for Venture Creation, we have spread ourselves, but we believe that that's what we need to do if we want to get things done. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the comprehensive high level of information to the human. I'm almost tempted to that the presentation is almost here. And we are here. Remember that you were really from the project come here. So we want to be channeled through proper so that when we do overnight and we benchmark or we do an outcome assessment, you are applicant spot on. Thank you very much for that. I'm not sure whether the DG wants to give more information or has some presentation to present to us.
Chairperson, we've been very shrewd in both national assembly and the select committee, and we escalated this upwards, delegated this upwards to our political leadership. We're comfortable the presentation has covered everything that we need to be covered, and I think the easiest way is for the select committee to then engage, and in that process, if there's information that we can add, we will do so. But the presentation covers everything that needs to be covered. Thank you.
My own philosophy, if you come to new members, it always starts with the known to the unknown. Mm-hmm. It's from the unknown to the known. When we begin the presentation, I was trying to check where I'm talking from, which document. And then I had to rush quickly and check through the document. I'm sure I remember also fine to going with the document. But nevertheless, thank you very much. I will comment at the last in terms of questions. Maybe the IT to member. Here we are, here is the presentation that needs to be located. Members are free to ask from any page. I will not have the chronological sequence to say ask from here. Where you feel strong that you want to ask, you can move. You see, when I say unknown to the unknown, because we are always interested about our problems, the impact that we are having to our problems. So that when we go out and say, this is what has been said, so we can measure. Then we are always in the process. The question of time is also getting in the document by this time. Because the program started in 2009, 2011, 2013. But going forward, silent on the templates so that we hold you accountable in the document in terms of timeline. By this time, we have done this. Or we've already done this because the program has been completed in 2011 and so on. So I'm saying I'm not going to stand for coming very strong in terms of your timeframes. So that you say now we're moving to this end direction. But I'm not saying I'm tempted to ask to lead, but I will hold my horses. Ladies and gentlemen, committee members, here is the presentation. It is numbers and so on. Any questions? We start from my far left. Number one. Remember, my colleague, 2, 3, 4, 5. In that question, let's start for everybody to talk. Thank you. You are recognized.
Thank you very much, Jefferson, for the benefit of our Honourable Deputy Minister. I'll start off by giving our names again. I'm Makume. Thanks very much for the presentation. It's amazing to imagine, this is a comment first, that within the short space of time of the existence of this ministry and department, that there are some very, very clear and exciting KPIs being raised. I'm, however, wondering about two things. One is with the establishment of the new ministry and department on small business, whether that demarcation has been worked out already. My second matter relates to the
medium-term expenditure framework, that we know that this, these documents before us is based on the 2013-2014 term. But very soon, we will, in the NCOP, be having our conversations about the budget in preparation for the appropriation bill in February next year. My question would therefore be whether there would be preparation within the department already to engage us so that we can also from an informed basis make inputs in the NCOP on the budget for 2014-2015. My final question, Chair, is on a point made towards the end by the Deputy Minister about the seven critical KPIs for provinces. It wasn't in the documentation that was made available to us, and I think because of a close association with the provinces, we would really value receiving that so that we can also assist in raising these critical KPIs with the provinces that we present here. Thank you.
Thank you.
But, I've got just one point from my side. Moloto Rail Corridor in Mpumalanga. That's not, there's nothing to be ignorant of it. Perhaps it doesn't fall within your mandate as one of your strategic integration programs, but if you could address us on that.
Just a few inputs. One is by way of suggestion, and perhaps Rolo Makuwe kind of addressed it. Regarding Free State, I didn't see, and perhaps it's because they're not detailed there, I didn't see anything, some of the KPIs regarding Free State. But the reason why I'm reading this is because we're failing to, especially in the Free State, in the mining towns, what we're failing to do is to diversify, to have secondary plans for these mining towns. As mines die, there's no other plan to keep the towns going. And this is strategically a problem for me. That's the first question. Two, sorry. I'm just wondering how much of an oversight role you have in the implementation of these plans. I'll give you an example. In 2010, in an industry that I work with very closely, the television and film industry, the arts and culture department called a meeting to the sector. I think it was in the and in the meeting it was said that arts and culture had been identified as a key job driver, and money had been allocated towards the department, towards the sector, to create jobs and so on and so forth. Three programs in particular were literally pulled those onto the sector, and we haven't seen any fruits of those programs that we discussed way back in. So I just need to know what role you have in making sure that these programs do actually, I do believe it was within your competency because it was a national growth path program. That was the second thing. Lastly, and very shortly, what is the plan for this radical economic industrialization of which you're talking about? Because we have 8 million people that we need to employ in this country. And we seem to be concentrating on small programs here and there. What is the big national industrialization that we keep learning? Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you
stop, please?
situation. I hope I'm close enough to this thing because it seems as though you've got a disability here. I want to say thank you for the presentation. I sat here with great expectation and I was really looking for detail. At the moment there's a blind light that you can't see clearly what's going to happen in our provinces. The DB will remember that we always, as the NTOP, we say, what are we going to do? We are coming from the point where we have had SONA, and lots of promises were made. Then, those promises came out again in our COVID. So now, I have to concur with our colleagues who spoke before us. We have not seen any of your 154 targets. We don't know what project you are going to have in Kuka or in Buffalo City Metro or with the dam that's been built in the Eastern Cape. Thank you, Chairperson. So we don't see any trace of that. So at the moment, we're looking at a blind. We don't look at specific projects. We can't go and do oversight. We can't go and see, have you turned the soil yet? There are 22 KPIs in which you refer to initiatives versus interventions, and then you also talk about unblock and intervention. And we need specifics because we need to know where we are going. You talk about 60 quarterly reports to the cabinet. We haven't seen any of those. Do we have access to them? Because otherwise we can't do oversight over the department. If we look at the finances on the presentation that we got, which you also had, but I didn't write your slide number down, number 13 in our presentation here, you do 6,697 million rand is your total budget. And then 534 million is being dished out to agencies. So now you become the headmaster of those agencies, do you still take the full responsibility for them, and do you manage them, do you keep them to your KPIs, etc., etc.? And where are they going? If I say the Usumbu Dam, is that now your project, or is it going to be the one for an agency? And then my biggest concern is what our Honourable Member from Gauteng raised. He said, SMEs and small business, where are we going with that? If I remember correctly, it took about 3 years for your very department to become a department. It was a long process to split you and get you organized and get your budgets organized and all your plans in place. Maybe it was 2 years, but it was really a long time and we always had to be very patient on that. And small business and SMEs and cooperatives are so critical in this presentation that you had mentioned. Where are we going with them? Are they going to go over, and how long is that going to take? And I think for the time, and unblock. You know, the EG will remember I raised the issue of Madubi with the minister. And I said to him, well, where are we going with Madubi? Can this department unblock the problems that we have at Madubi? Because it is a coordinating committee function that you have. And if so, how is that going to happen? And I think I want to leave it there. And I'm using Madubi as an example. There are others too, but it's really difficult to talk about it if we don't have all our targets per province on a document. Because I know that the communities in the middle study were invited to write to the president and come up with more initiatives that are necessary. So I don't even know if my own municipality has a project with the SIP. So it is necessary that we know where we're going. Thank you.
Thank you very much, President. And let me join my colleagues by appreciating the presentation from our leader there. Actually, it's good to speak last to one of the person because many speakers could have covered it by then. But I want to ask the department that if they take on the summary of the department for 2014 MTEF, because I can see that the numbers are not straight. If you can go and check, they are talking about 5,579.1, and you are talking about a total budget of 697 million. You can go and check that and then do the questions. And the other thing on our strategic objectives, I see objective number one, number two, three, four talked about the same time as you were trying to explain. I don't know if ever you can try to integrate them and talk about one thing that will then end up promoting and supporting the regional economic development, as Honorable Member from Free State was saying there. And another thing, you mentioned something like members will be asking about municipal power station, and a colleague here, I can see every year supporting the local province. So I also want to then check and say, when can we really expect to see municipal power station working? I am from the Kumbu province and I would be very happy to see it completed. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to say that it is now quarter to next time. Okay. Then I give over to my colleague next to me and then over.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thanks, Honorable DM Nyati. My submission is going to take the form of a clarity situation. That somewhere in your presentation I saw that there was a mention of the agro-logistics. And I would want to know what form of agro-logistics is. What form is it going to take? Is it still going to be the usual one of that we have seen in the country, or are we going to give it a flavor of beneficiation and localization? Your key driver. I'm raising this because the frustration raised by the Honorable Member next to me is such that if you want to go to Rustin Bank today to them and you look at the reportedly mines that are put for sale by Anglo Platinum after the strike, I can tell you with my eyes closed now that the life of mine for those shop that I bought for say 11 to 10 years. But what is the gist about the relationship that I want to raise is that the mining industry in the Rustenburg area or your northwest of Free State has washed away the agrarian activities that were there before. People were moved from their farms and mines were established, and when mines finishes, the rehabilitation process that is dictated to by the MRDP is not being followed. And therefore the people who were part of the agrarian activity that were there are no longer able to go back and follow the agrarian process that were. So I'm just trying to see whether our agrarian logistics process that we want to undertake, is it going to take a form of localization, promotion, beneficiation, come back as we move forward. Thanks.
Indirectly, there's a question about the radical transformation that we spoke about. Can we work that technology with radical? I remember Pillar.
Thank you.
We are not seeing that from now.
Thank you. On this presentation, page 17, it talks here of a transport
rollout of our city's project. The price rather than the Latin can is just the case. As far as I know, the GDSA was doing this project. Now, we should talk radical change. Those are projects that radically destroy the emerging sectors. They destroy the emerging sectors and new contractors. They were not designed for emerging contractors. Now, one would like to know, achieving the status of the workers, but also the Ministry of Basic Education, in as much as that we got more of the emerging second grade ones, and they can just not get out of that bottom line. And this is one of the projects that is good. What was the role in this project? And what is it that you can do to assist those guys that are destroying radically to get them out of that bottom line situation? You cannot do that because of this city project. Secondly, slide 21 talks of action against the construction cartel. I know that those were fine, but I'm not sure if it's a relevant issue, but I just want to mention, you can skip to the other study. When you do the emerging sector, they are not only just fine, but they also blacklisted. What is it that you can do to make sure that the same things are level and same with the service sector and the medical sector? Because it's just unfair that when you deal with these small guys, you destroy them. But I'm not sure if it's supposed to be your. Then, agriculture. You still be silent on agriculture and rural areas depend on agriculture. What is that you're doing with that you are going to pursue financially to assist with this agriculture?
Thank you. On the launch, still learning. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. As you can see, the members here are eager to assist the department. Because I do have a sense that the capacity problem in monitoring your projects is really a challenge. I'm not sure what is the capacity of the department in monitoring these projects, because many projects, and I'm just wondering the capacity to monitor that. Now, because members are raising serious matters here in relation to capacity, and the department to monitor, so also money to that end. So, the second issue for me would be to request the department. Because I don't want the department to take us that we were there last time. I always want us to be interested in when you very give us those projects that relate to our provinces, so that when we do oversight and give you an informed report in as far as whether that progress is made or not, well, it seems to me we already come late in as far as the monitoring side of it and giving you some kind of a direction. Especially when it relates to the PICC, because at that level and the secretary must evaluate your project based on what you see. And this organ could be one tool to assist you in that spot. But you can't do that without any report. That's why also my colleagues are saying that the blind, they can't be clear, because the document is not going to be this province to province, because all of us, we're coming from different provinces that we can hear, and we know that. Can we be accepted to that? On the issue of Medupi, the role of the department depends the role of enterprise, you know, the role of energy. Because at a level there should be coordination. What is your ability about coordinating and getting a sense? So
so that we accept the process. But I would also love to hear, because once we give up those major projects from the various provinces or various projects, we can also assess the question of cooperation. To what extent is cooperation in this department? Because as you speak, and your projections are off. You know, we don't get that sense here. In your APP, you only speak very little about the 297 million. And I would assume that those agencies you are referring to, your state-owned entities. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you may have a misunderstanding here. if you take talk of agencies, Twilight might go straight into its outsourcing. And where is your creation? Or is it about your agencies? Can you clarify that so that members are a bit comfortable? The question of bottlenecks. That leads to your example of 20 million, and it was raised also by another member. Maybe we need to know those projects that have been stopped because of this funding, this human resources, and so on, so that we benchmark you, we measure you in terms of the output, rather than we've walked the talk of unblocking those projects that were there. Ladies and gentlemen, maybe I know I'm not yet. I will take the second round as far as other questions that have been in terms of the country. I'm just asking the question is so that we understand where we are. And in that, there's a question of give us these projects in the various point so that when one goes home, you can come back and hold your hand with us. Because most of the documents will do this. But here, we are more practical. I like the NCA. Thank you. Can we have some response?
Chairperson, honourable members, good morning again, and thank you very much for both the question and comments. I can see that we are going to get an enormous value add from our interaction with the select committee. I think that the first thing that I would like to commit us to do is to for the that provides you with the details per province. So we're able to say of the strategic integrated projects, the 18 of them, these ones cut across these provinces, this one is located only within one province, this one cuts across all nine provinces. But in addition, I think it would be useful if we included in that major projects that the IDC is involved in funding and supporting. Where CIFA has got particular projects that are taking place within provinces, and where we are involved in planning support initiatives. And I think in that way, we will be able to give the selectivity a good thing of where we are working in those provinces. So I think that would be an overarching process, because if we try now to deal with what exists in what province, we're going to lose out. So if you're comfortable with that, then I'd rather prepare it and review, and then you can also determine whether you actually want an engagement on that documentation. So that's a commitment from our side. The second process that I think is an important element is the issue of the establishment of the Small Business Development Ministry. Fortunately, with Taiwan, we've got the benefit of the knowledge of the last administration on shifting a function, and already one can see that the process is going to be shorter than it was. But I think it's also important for the Select Committee to understand that nowhere in EDD, given the nature of our function and integrating and coordinating the process, was there a component or a function called small business. So it's not that there is a part of our department that we can take and hand over. Ours, in fact, is that coordinating, analyzing, integrating, unblocking role. So the partnership between us and the Ministry of Small Business Development becomes an absolutely critical partnership. Fortunately, they've done the passage from us, so we are involved in working closely with them to do that. That responsibility that we have in relation to the NGP jobs drivers and monitoring the implementation of those jobs drivers obviously means that we have ongoing responsibility to look at small business and to determine whether, in fact, we are moving forward in the right way to determine whether the linkages between small business and supply chain management of both the public sector and the private sector is being lost. The driving of the work with small business obviously is the responsibility of the small business ministry. You will find as you engage in the trading industry that you will see that the actual functions and the capacity and the people, the personnel that are responsible for small business and cost, in fact, are moving up from DTI rather than from ourselves. Where we do this in though is in relation to CIFA. CIFA is a wholly owned subsidiary of the IDC, and its relationship to government is via the IDC, and IDC is one of our public entities. So certainly at this point, we are in a situation in which our partnership with the Small Business Ministry will enable us to provide them with performance information from CIFA via the IDC, would enable both our Minister and the Minister of Small Business to be able to interact with CIFA and provide a strategic direction. But there isn't a structural shift in that regard. So we are currently sharing information with the Small Business Ministry to ensure that that partnership is built. So for example, through our mid-year last year, we had developed an action plan around small business with the MECs from the 9 provinces. We are envisaging that the Ministry of Small Business should bring us in that mid-year process, which is already a joint mid-year between us and trade industry. And there again, we would have that partnership to be able to ensure that not only between DGI, EDB and small business, we can manage the process going forward, but at the same time between national and provincial, we get that alignment. In terms of the MTF, indeed we are in the process of looking at the MTF submissions going forward, and we'll certainly appreciate engagement with the city committee and input in relation to that. What we can also do moving then to the 7 critical KPIs, we will make the version that the Deputy Ministry used for presentation purposes available to the committee by the end of today, but we will have the 7 KPIs. And in a sense, I think that those would be then the area going forward that are in our interaction with the city committee, more detail will be able to be provided in relation to those particular case lines. The Molotov Corridor is not itself a strategic integrated project. And I'm sure that the DM, given where he's come from, will speak on it in more detail. So let me just open the door for him to pick up on it at that stage if he wishes. But I think what is important is that in relation to all of the development corridor types of projects, apart from our role in the strategic integrated project, we are also involved in working closely, and I can see that our planning branch is going to come aboard to add more value to that as well. One of our KPIs are specific to a particular province, but implicit in all of them is looking at what needs to be done in terms of economic development within the particular province. We are not a department that has a provincial competency, we're a national coordinating integrating department. So it's not that you will find in one place all of the information around a particular economic development trajectory for a particular province. And that's why we would need to, out of all of the KPIs, list up the information so we can present back to you. If you want to look at the Eastern Cape, take the following, and this is where you would. If you want to look at the Free State, this is where you would be able to find the work that is being done. In relation to the Arts and Culture project, I don't have the specifics of exactly what those initiatives were, and for me this is where it's really useful for us to be given the actual details of those, so we can go and ascertain what has happened and be able to look at what can be done to unblock commitments that have been made. Indeed, all of the job drivers, it is our responsibility to be able to monitor. Our focus in the first 5 years of the department was more on developing the new growth path, being able to look at one particular job driver, the infrastructure job driver, precisely because it was determined that in the context of the economic challenges that we had from 2009 onwards, economic infrastructure acts as a catalyst, and around that you then open up other development opportunities. So our energy has been to a large extent on having development jobs, focusing on the infrastructure development job strike, which is the first of the job strike. Our responsibility now in terms of NTSF, which is why we've recrafted our KPIs to focus on that, is in fact to be looking at the implementation, the work done on the other job strikes, and be able to determine is it having the effect that the NGP predicted and projected that it would have. Are we moving fast enough? What do we need to do differently? So the lessons that the DM spoke about around the PICC are being taken into the monitoring mechanism around the other job strikes. The question you raised at the end, in a sense, a question which I think was interested in all of the questions that have been asked, which was, what is our ability to be able to monitor? We are indeed a very small department. We have 139 people at the moment. We are funded to the value of 166. We have a total post-establishment, if one goes back to the post-establishment from the organization, the organogram that was designed in 2009 has been tweaked a bit, is between 265 and 300. We're funded for that. We're funded for 166. And yet we're able to generate incredibly detailed reports for cabinet in relation to the BRCC. How? Because we are able to utilize people who are based in other departments, in other organizations, in other public entities. So in a sense, through the PICC, the actual technical team that we have is 8 people, and yet they've got a network of data collection mechanisms that enables us to get information from, firstly, the fiscal coordinators, which are public entities, secondly, from the departments that are responsible for those public entities, and in that way we're able to utilize a far broader range of people to be able to do it. So once you've designed your monitoring system and you've been able to get people to understand what information is that they need to provide, you've got a far broader range of people coming into it. Obviously the challenge then is to verify the accuracy of that information. And again, the PIPC process has given us some very important lessons. Part of what has been developed in that environment over the last while is the use of cyclists to be able to say the 3 people from the PRCC technical team are going to flip X and are actually going to go and do cyclists. But I think it's also where our relationship with the select committee becomes very important, because through your own oversight mechanism, you can flip that out to say this development appears to be as far as it is, or this development plan, which looks really good on paper, is not actually delivering something different on the ground. So that partnership will also become an important mechanism in our monitoring. I think in terms of the issue of our overall plan for radical economic transformation, one needs to understand that we are only but one role player in that process. The NDP and the NGP, the National Infrastructure Plan, the Industrial Policy Action Plan, the Agricultural Policy Action Plan that is in the process of being developed, the mining plan, the mineral beneficiation, all of those are the plans that feed into those projects. And in a sense, it is a number of small interventions or medium-sized interventions that lead up to it. Okay, in terms of the money line, I'm going to another CFO to speak to that, but we can see a discrepancy in our figures there. Okay, so the question of the money plan and the issue of the forward planning, we couldn't agree more with the observation that has been made, that it's precisely where we need to be able to say, as mining is getting to the point where it is going to be closing down, those processes ensuring that there are alternative economies in those areas take place. And that, I think, is an important part of what is part of the DM's responsibilities of ensuring that we put greater focus on provincial planning.
to this point, our involvement in provincial planning has been, it's not been as consistent as we would have liked, but given that we are 4.5 years old, it's quite understandable. But it is in this HSS process a far greater responsibility, and the DM will be taking that as a key subject area for this 5 years. We do already have some interaction with provinces or with municipalities, in fact, around society realization. So, for example, our former DM had spoken at the Marketing Development Summit last year, and precisely the issue is what you do with a community in which minds have moved on, and you don't have the economic development taking place. So those aspects are critically important, and again, it's a process of being able to ensure that in looking at local economic development, provincial economic development, we are not looking at it as silos. You can't turn around a mining town that is reaching the stage with mining not closing down if you're not also interacting with rural development and with the Department of Agriculture. Is to ensure that all of us are involved in those processes. I think in terms of it's important for me to perhaps explain in terms of the strategic integrated project. Indeed, each of the strategic integrated projects is a project managed through a public entity. The reference was made to the Sashimi School Board being coordinated through the DSA is the sub-coordinator that has been involved in it. But what's very important is for the committee to understand that does not remove the responsibility of the accounting officer of that line functional department. So where the budget lies for that particular procurement processes is with specifications that the tenders are developed, where the bids are adjudicated, where the bids are awarded. The SIP coordinator is the agency that ensures that the project plan is there, that the project information is available, that the monitoring is done, that the unblocking is done, the accountability to the PRPC structure is done. Part of what though the PRPC is increasingly doing, and in the Infrastructure Development Act, it is one of the elements that we have brought into the Act, is the scope for the PRPC to look at where there are policy economies of scale around procurement issues. So if you have a like water and sanitation that cuts across the entire country, it's not bound to either particular province or particular municipality, you may well, if one needs to procure water, be able to get enormous economies of scale by procuring to a coordinated mechanism rather than every municipality doing their own process. In addition, that it also provides the localization opportunities in relation to that. So I think the concerns about whether the infrastructure procurement processes are building smaller companies in bigger companies is a critical part of what the PRPC is indeed concerned about. On the issue around the construction cartels, I think it's important to reflect that the fines applied by the Competition Commission is quite one of the potential consequences of cartel action, be it the construction companies or anybody else. The fines are issued in terms of the Competition Act and the powers that exist within that. But the PFMA also has very serious consequences for anybody who is involved in manipulating procurement processes and as a result costing the state more than that. So there are consequences in terms of the PCMA regulations that the partners can also follow. Secondly, where there is any evidence that the collusion in fact involves people within the department and not just collusion between companies, there are obviously the disciplinary investigations and processes that can be followed. When there is criminal activity in the form of corruption or fraud, again, the investigation through an a component like the Hawks is another possible route. In terms of the construction industry, there is also the responsibility of the Construction Industry Development Board. to investigate any issues of collusion, corruption that take place within their environment, and there are such pre-obligations for the IGB to carry out those. So just to reflect that there are a range of different issues, and we're acutely aware of the fact that there is a perceived or an accurate or actual discrepancy in the treatment of big players as opposed to small players. And the CIPB is certainly very aware that it's important to ensure that there is an equity process in relation to this. The silence on agriculture, certainly there is not a silence on agriculture. It is one of the jobs drivers that will be being monitored actively. And when we say agriculture, we do mean the entire agricultural value chain. So from growing with a strong emphasis on smallholder development right the way through to ensuring the market access, beneficiation, agro-processing, all of those are involved. And indeed there is through the IDC coming from funding from the Pioneer case, the bed part manipulation case, that are going into an agro-processing fund there precisely to enhance agro-processing. I think that perhaps there's just a final comment on the agencies. You'll find as we talk as EDD, we ourselves have the agencies of the Competition Commission, Competition Tribunal, International Trade and Administration Commission, the Industrial Development Corporation, and CIFA. Those are our five entities that we would talk about in relation to ourselves. But when we're talking about the PSC, we will be talking about agencies, because each of those steps is coordinated through an agency, a public entity that has been appointed to do that coordination work. So you'll find that for every single one of the SIPs, we can provide you with a full list of the SIP coordinators so that you can begin to get that sense of it. I'm certainly not going to run through it at this point, but we can provide you with that information. But in the PICT context, we do have the SIP coordinators as public entities playing a project management coordination role. So that may be a little bit of where the misinterpretation about the role of agencies comes in. But importantly, in terms of those coordinators, it's not a process of outsourcing the responsibilities to them. Land functional departments remain responsible for their own projects. So within any strategic integrated project, you will find a plethora of, I think there's 560 projects in those agencies, right? So you'll find in the Waterberg that there are water projects, there are energy projects, there are mining projects, there are a whole range of different projects. The Department of Water Affairs is responsible for any water project. The budget is there, the responsibility there, the accountability is there, but ensuring that it's integrated and that you don't land up where a mine that needs water lands up where the water is going in the different direction, or you don't land up where a school that is being built needs water and the water is going in the wrong direction, or that the school is there and water will be there, but it will be there in 3 years' time. Meanwhile, you've got a school that doesn't have water and doesn't have electricity. So it's that integration mechanism that is the role of the PICT. But in terms of budget, the accountability in terms of the actual implementation remains an accounting officer's responsibility. So you're not going to see in our 697 million as EED, a massive infrastructure bill. There's not much you can build with that amount of money. What you will see is that money still remains in each of the boats. What we do is we track our people spending that money at national level, at provincial level, and even at municipal level. If not, why not? And it's one of the very useful indicators of whether a project is actually going. At times you think that money is being spent, but the building is not going up. At other times you see the building is going up, but money is not being spent. It's one of those elements in the construction course that is a very useful yard. Chairman, let me hand over to my colleagues to add on any of the other elements that I've not covered.
Thank you,
Ms.
Chairman. Just before I give my microphone into the speaker to listen to the detail that is required by the committee. It's just to indicate that this booklet is actually very critical because what it does, it gives you all the infrastructure, but infrastructure is only to do class. So our role as a department is that we look at this commitment to create the jobs and also for the inclusive growth and the existing that we've identified, taking us there are the discipline and are focusing on them. And that is why I can hear the frustrations of my members as the DG has indicated. Most of the details about this primary that you hear, you will then hear them when you start dealing with the line department in the economic cluster. Our role is that one for unblocking, coming up new policies, and indicate where the plan is forming, and raise this issue and get them to go. But in terms of the ultimate outcome, is the department that we try to look at that they may have less to consider is yourself with this particular outcome. What we are interested in mostly would be which one is that? Is this one going? Is this one so that is the thing that we'll be looking at. For instance, the issue of law, especially if you look at page 8 of this booklet, it will indicate to you that it is there. There are a number of projects in the city that would have been mentioned here, identified, but we find that they are currently not in the underground, because remember when I was speaking to the infrastructure there, I indicated that the lesson that we have learned is that you must have right visibility, you must have right resources, you must have skills, and all this technology. So all these combinations must give you a full project. So if you implement the project before that, you then find yourself in trouble. So as you implement the various projects in the city, those are the things that we do. If you feel that a project that is missing at one area, you allow it to develop, to work, the team to work on it until it is concluded, and that's why it's now set. You will see it being pronounced in public. For instance, if you look at my transport here, my city, when BFT was announced, my city was actually cooled down, because there were issues that they needed to go through all this process. So by the time they said, this is us, and this is my city, the whole project pipeline is actually verified. So that's a similar situation in the view of the law. If you look at the pages 31 to page 38, it will outline the things that we'll do in terms of that I want to assist you in terms of the industrialization and creation of your job. So it's an intervention in your various areas, in your mining and also in your manufacturing and agro-processing, in agriculture in terms of agro-processing, and in your rainfall in terms of the things that we are doing. I just wanted to indicate that. So now, what is this that we're saying to the committee? I think as government, after learning through the implementation and then identify the key areas and things that we should take forward, what we want to do, we want to move now from even national focus, and we'll interact with provinces using the principles that we've been using here, and using the core infrastructure that are coming from here. Let's take, for example, Midupi. We will take in Midupi, identify various things that we need to be doing in order to facilitate job creation and inclusive growth. We have looked at beneficiation, we've looked at localization, we've looked at whether we're in the process that we are creating, like in that loop. And all other aspects as well, whether it is local programs. So all those issues that we have been looking at in the when go to the province of Limpopo and they say, what are the other infrastructures that are here? Have we been able to exploit this to maximum? And if not, and if you've done so, are the things that we need to unblock? And then we move into the provincial priorities that they are having.
and measure them the same way we have measured in groups. So when we go and interact with the provinces, as we are saying, we're going to go to the province and look at that one thing. And I'm just going to come up with a look at the province that's discussing around communities. We'll be looking at here in the project, and this is the pipeline, and this is what we're going to achieve, which is going to also address the issue that you are raising with regard to the city project. If we have realized when we're implementing that it has been crowding out small contractors, that is the, when we talk intervention, that is exactly what we're talking about. Take that item and say, here the local contractors, emerging contractors, this project has had unintended. And then unblock that and change it, turn it around in order for you to benefit. And ensure that all other projects that are going to be carried out in the are addressing that particular aspect. So we're going down like that up to the local level. Mining towns, dying mining towns, there is a special, it's a special working committee of ministers now, and a whole team of technical teams led from the president to intervene, to deal with all the issues that have got to do with the dying mining towns in the country. And then we will be able to then report progress in relation to that. That also is part of this thing when we say initiation and intervention and identify what is the next action. If there is no area, no institution that is supposed to carry out that, and then create a process to deal with that. So that is how also small business comes in, because as we deal with all these assets, we try to locate who actually can deal with this matter, because we are not, in fact, it is supposed to try do this way to drive the, it's part of an economic drive. Then the intervention says, we need to look at how to institutionalize it, and the best way to institutionalize it was to say we should have it as a trust. So that's the, I think it explains the nature of it. I'll also give that to speak to specific questions that you can answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think the specific that Pierre wants to speak about is about the agro-processing and beneficiation thereof. The one project that we have was the Noble Resources project, was established in Lekwa, Senegal. Noble Resources is an international Fortune 500 company. They've invested 650 million in a service machine plant in Lekwa. And we've got involved not because of the investment, but because of the infrastructure that the municipality provides in terms of water, electricity, and so on, and there's some efficiencies in that, and we're trying to resolve those. Some of them have been resolved, others are still a challenge to be working on those. But what this investment brought was the single largest investment to Thomas Stanton. It's created about 500 jobs, and crushing plant taking soya as an input. 850,000 tons of soya beans will be annually. This is directly the current local production. So there's an opportunity here to grow farmers, to grow black farmers. The nice thing about soya is that it doesn't need irrigation, so it's growing fair, and therefore like you don't need water license issues. Firstly, but secondly, the barriers to entry is a bit lower. So if you're a farmer on rain-fed, farming methods, you can easily enter into this, provided you within 100 meter radius within 10 tons. The plant produces, when it crushes the soya, it produces soya oil, which is an edible oil for human consumption. Then it does, the outer skin of the bean is used as a hull, which is used in animal feed. And the inner portion of the seed is then processed into soya cake. Now, soya cake is an input that's used into chicken feed production. As a result of this plant establishing in China, it's an actual that produces, which is a subsidiary of that produces chicken feed and needs the soya cake as an input, then established a 200 million rand plant right now. So now you've got 850 million rand investment in a town that was almost dying, and it regenerated the town. So after all, then the input. But the important thing about the soya cake is that currently all of the chicken industry is importing the soya. and Noble's Soria cake that is produced caters for 50% of the domestic requirements. So it's an import to pay domestication. So now you've got jobs. You've got jobs in farming. You've got a whole technical farm. You need to double the output of soya production. Secondly, you've got a plant that produces oil, that produces animal feed, and chicken feed that was never produced in South Africa, the soya cake that is being imported. And then thirdly, the tax force comes and looks at its investment and makes an investment now to do chicken processing, or chicken feed processing. So that's the kind of investigation that we're taking in this one particular example. Another example is the agro-processing competitive plan. You would remember a few years ago there was the Great Cartel, the excessive price, and they were fined R1 billion. And of that R1 billion, we mentioned it, R250 million, which we then asked the IDC to administrate on our behalf. And they then provided the loan to agro-processing companies, interest-free, so they used their money. In fact, all of their initial money has been allocated by the IDC. And now, when we get repayments on those funds, those interest-free loans, then we'll apply that to further new loans. So those are the kind of things that we do in the agriculture tradition.
I'm not sure if I really understood the comments or the recommendations that were made by the NASA, but the $697 million is different from the NTF. According to DNE, the 2014 DNE that published, our allocation is $696,980 million, so we just rounded it up. So I'm not sure where the mistake could be. Thank you, Chair President. I think I've been clarified, but my apologies, I did not check well. So there are some additions that have been made from the money that I mentioned, and I did not check under me. Thank you very much.
I just wanted to comment on one of the things that my name is Gandhi Kodesha, and I'm with the Economic Commission of Bank. The comment that I'm going to provide is that I think that the DMS of Sri Lanka, I think it's key care for in terms of the work that we're doing around providing proper oversight of all the provisions in the department in the main, because their numbers are performing. So we have some of the good examples of the two things within the provinces, within the people of the bank that were performed in the current financial year. So we will be able to provide some information. Also, on the issue of medical transformation, one of the things that we are actually talking about is about making sure that a proper investment growth in our own core productive sectors, in particular in manufacturing, currently will be led by the Department of Teachers for their industrial protection plan. And there's a fixed incarnation from that. So there's sort of a thing around that as well. There's also the mining and mineral plant that will be developing, going to be led by both Department of TGI as well as mineral resources by EDD will be playing that kind of coordinating role. There's where I think DG talks around the agriculture, for example. We will have agricultural policy action plan that will be taking place soon, I think, through cabinet for approval. So there will be a monitoring of that kind of so all the key cooperative sectors is what they need to take as well action as far as goals as well as jobs are concerned in that regard. All of this is part of that alignment and the other sectors to make sure that they exist fully in some of the work that we do as well as government. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
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 The president has announced that he's been producing the management project of the left system. A big first result, and it's called Institute. A big first result is that, if one can say, radical. you don't stand there and say, we are going to do 1, 2, 3 in the mass. You get into the mass, sit with the stakeholders, get a workers, get the management, and say, he wants to, how many jobs are going to create a kid? You think this is what we can do. And you work on it, all of you, and look at the constraints that you have. If you feel that there are certain constraints that are going to keep the mind, that are going to put the mind, you don't implement that. You look at those that are going to say, yes, you're still going to benefit in this way, but the mind is still going to exist, and all of us are going to exist. And we must manage the impact. So part of that process is the one that is going to push us to say, besides the fact that you have identified these actions which are radical, they are actually changing the way in which you've been doing work in the past, because now we deal as a collective. We must now involve the other role players directly and deal and go into an item and demand. Ideas that we have, wouldn't like to say that I think that process is going to be saying ideas that might be helping, it might not be advisable to announce them even before you know you engage in the university. If you go there and you feel like, I just want to give an example, and I think the members of the ESF, the honorable members in the ESF might be understanding it closer. Let me look at the vision. One, you come with a vision that you think that if you take 60% of the money, you want to give it to the SOEs, you want to make it into an idea is good, you can actually quantify it. But if you've got that particular idea, you don't say it. You go there and say, here, if we put in 60%, we think that we can produce more jobs than here, and there is a dialogue that is engaged in that particular. If you agree that that is going to work, and at the end it comes out as an outcome, we then pronounce it. So what we do is we look at the pipeline, investigate, deal with all role players, look at the constraints, announce the project, announce an approach. That is the radical. I was just using that just as an example because it's a common example that we use in the project. Not necessarily that we are actually looking at coming ahead of them. So if any solution that is actually self-sourced and engage with the partner, and we look at the collectivity and digital strategy as people in all the country and look at what sort of solutions we get there. Anyway, that's another way that is going to be introduced.
Unfortunately, it is an example. In that example, the president has announced on his plans that Superman wanted to deliver that gap so that the AK issue was passed by the government or to kill the country. Our interest as the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court is to have the economy must create jobs. It must create an environment where people improve their lives from where it is already. Members identified the unemployment rate is very high. That's why we are so itchy also about the is there any impact to those that don't have? So I'm saying that we will deal with this matter. The problem will be members, what are plans on it? I know the income it provokes all the reactions and so on. But it was just an example the idea was making. We must always expand and make an example about the AAD. And also that it's not as if we are trying to be the whole job of the committee.
Maybe you put something right.
We'll talk about politics instead of the members, I'm not going to talk about any politics, but I think you want to invite.
My concern is that we engage in these programs to create jobs, but what we're failing to do is to protect them. In a very good example in the state, for instance, and it's terrible now for the post 1984 sort of regime, in the sense that before 1994 you had Bantustan king or whatever the monarchy was, who built factories where people could manufacture a number of things, right? I give you the example of Kwakwa, for instance, but it's also applicable in Mafikeng when Mahope was there are many examples. But those opportunities have seemed to fall through the cracks because we failed to protect them, right? So, for instance, in an environment in South Africa where we import chicken, I fail to understand why we import chicken in the country, why we import tomato. Where we should be saying that it's important to protect those industries in South Africa so that we employ more people and export more. That to me would seem like a much broader vision. I'm using chicken as an example, and tomato as an example. But there are many examples. We import glass, we import. There are so many things that we import in the country that industries that we should be protecting in order to sustain jobs in this country. You know, the jobs that we're talking about, construction, I don't know why we're still calling them because construction work, it comes and it goes. I come from an industry that has that kind of culture. So yeah, I just need to make that point. That's what I meant when I said radical industrialization. The bigger plans. Sorry. Yeah.
Just before you respond, I want to give another one. I want to say something.
Honorable von der Linden was talking worried about the 60% issue. But I'm not sure to what extent, but I think DG, you came very close to allaying my fears. That part of our responsibility to go in and intervene, particularly in your the so called mining towns, should have an explicit and a deliberate intent to also bring about land and agrarian reform as part of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have a situation where you have Northwest and Free Trade, which are predominantly your rural town provinces. But if you listen to yourself, I mean, there's a deliberate intent to identify agriculture as a key job driver, and we must be able to come and say, side by side with the mining industry that we wanted to build, let's come up also with the environment reform. But there are 40 drivers there. If you don't have proper roads, if you don't have water like in the Northwest, if you don't have the energy, those things are not good. And that's where you come in to assist. Lastly, I think what my honorable colleague is saying is quite interesting. But I think we'll take it to another level, because the Babelehi in your Gauteng and Northwest border, your Mafikeng, they died because of the introduction of the Labour Relations Act in 1995, because people were paid for 3 rand a week. So as we create jobs, we must also create laws that are going to safeguard the right of workers. But we'll debate about it in another platform. Thanks.
You know, I was tempted to respond. I'm also coming from the Eastern Cape, where these things happened. In Zimbabwe, towns, you will remember those factors. But I refuse that temptation because of time constraints. At another time, appropriate time, we'll deal with the matter. I will give over also to honorable member Vada. Is it Vada? Vada, Vada. Please, the right one.
Vada.
Oh, I'm looking at Vada.
Same thing, Shepard. I don't believe we're related, maybe differently. Thank you, Shepard. my colleague Yasendia is being very kind to the deputy minister, but I'm also not going to disagree, as you guys can see, from the same problem. And also into the particular inside.
Yeah.
I was looking at this book and I'm a bit concerned when I came to page 12. I noticed the future growth, economic growth, it seems to be centered almost entirely around housing. And I'm wondering, you know, if we take Germany as a good example, where they have a lot of decentralization. I'm just wondering whether we shouldn't put in some processes or can we consider looking in that direction. I don't even see towns like Newcastle and Palamora featuring on this map at all. So that's my one concern. The other issue is that if this kind of growth is going to be taking place, then I believe that the transport system in that area, that means we're walking now from Emalahleni in the east, going right through to Mafeking in the west, and then Makopani in the north probably, or even as far as Pokwani, and then right down to the south towards northern parts of Free State, that transport system would have to be, you know, how plain and even the bulk transport system, that is going to have to be developed in a very, very big way in the years to come. Lastly, the issue of the universities, I don't know if that's going to be a priority with the department to monitor the progress on the two universities. We must understand that when we build power stations and dams, we're building them today, but universities are going to be building the power stations and dams of tomorrow. So, you know, and also the universities is a very sensitive issue. It's the deputy minister himself, so Pumalanga, and we know what it means to the people in Northern Cape, Pumalanga. But also universities are very, very important. We, you know, education is going to remain the fundamental cornerstone of economic development and the other issues in the country, the HIV epidemic, for example, is another one where education is very important in controlling. Thank you, Chair.
I think let's take the very last one, because I could not have closed this meeting until all the member wants to speak. Now, this is the time.
Thank you, Chair. I picked up something when the DG answered some of the questions that you said, I think there's 200 and something odd positions that on your organogram, and currently there's funded for 166, of which 139 is full, if I remember correctly. That's a vacancy rate of about 16%. Now, in a ministry that's so small, and you need to do all of this oversight work, that's quite a high vacancy rate. Now, is it critical position that's going to assist in the monitoring, or is it not your core positions around which the monitoring and the evaluation is focused? I just want to touch on that.
I'm not going to be very upset. I was looking at this summary of the African National Infrastructure Plan, and what came to my mind is that if we can replay the records of members of parliament who were in this parliament taking part in this type of discussion, you find that what we are reading today is not new. It's something that has been raised all along by other members. So now I would like to the government that please must just go and do a strong monitoring. What you need now is the money officials know, the members of parliament, if they know to what you're requesting. You need to have this money and go and work and do the monitoring. I think this department, your department, the two ministers, you say, or this must make a huge difference so that we see after working. Thank you very much.
I think we must talk economics and the improvement of lives. Surely, that's why I said initially, we must be turned from the known to the unknown. So that when we get, by our doctors, we are all equal in terms of information and putting the cut for us. Now, this appeal or request is very critical so that we are not found like a broken record. Repeating, we must take the process forward. Perhaps, she said, myself and maybe the deputy, you are new. And those that you are encouraged by giving this information. Our approach is, but surely, the department, I know they have to play those games so that they can have a recollection to take us forward. DM, the DG, less than 5 minutes. responsive.
Just as I'll deal with the vacancy issues in terms of the facility, and so he can run with any other issue. Indeed, it is an issue that we are paying very special attention to. I would say that there are two dimensions to it. The three dimensions to it. The one is, as a new department, we're growing. We took a very conscious decision that we didn't want to, on day one, go and fill all the funded posts that we had and land up where we had then appointed the wrong types of people, the wrong services. We have developed a model of staffing that enables us to say, this is a post that we know forever we will need. We'll fill it with a permanent post, as a permanent post. This is a post that we need at the moment to have somebody who has expertise on mining. In 2 years' time, we may need somebody who's got expertise on agriculture. Now, clearly, and I'm using this as an example, we need both at the moment. But it means that we can employ some people on contract, some people not on contract. So it will be a department that has an unusually high turnover, not because there's a problem, not because we can't retain people, but quite deliberately because we need to be able to source particular skill sets. So it's not going to be a usual department in any other sense. But we are concerned, we are finding it difficult to draw in the right skill set. We have developed a retention strategy. We are also looking at getting a headhunting process going and ensuring we are able to use both advertising and headhunting parallel to be able to achieve that. But in addition, as a really new department, we've also been acutely aware that as the department grows and consolidates, or as its conditions become clearer, our organizational structure needs to be clear. So the organizational structure that was designed in 2009 is not ideally appropriate, even for what we've been doing over the last year, but certainly against this ACT, we have recognized that we need to review the organizational structure. And it's against these five strategic objectives that we would then be looking at what is the most important way to be able to structure. Part of what makes the structuring of EDD quite complex is that none of those strategic objectives is delivered on by a particular component in silo. I think that Ian spoke about the important work that we do in breaking silos across government, but even within EDD, we need to be able to break that silo. So at the moment, our branches, policy, planning and coordination, social dialogue, and infrastructure development, you will find on most of our work that there are people from, for example, Kameti and Wendy. Kameti from the policy branch, Wendy from the planning branch, look together in terms of the provincial department oversight and performance management. So those are the challenges that we experience. We are working really hard to be able to ensure that the systems are in place to source people at the right time. We have also got a quite an exciting ability to be able to get people seconded either full-time or partly from other departments where there are skill sets elsewhere that we would need but only need for a particular part of the time. So it's work in progress. We anticipate that during the rest of the financial year we will make significant progress, but it will be on a refined organizational structure that will then prevent from having recruited people who then are not quite sure what they should be doing because they don't have the skill set that we need. I hope that gives you some comfort. We share your concerns, but it is a systematic way of addressing it.
The reason why we are using Rwanda to draw members is because what we are doing in this term is consolidation of our actions and methods that we identified in the last term. Going forward to say, these are the things that we identify all of us as we said, anchor our economic development program. And these methods, what we need to do, all the steps that we said we should have, we must enter into them. And I think our role is to really follow up those pipelines. And those pipelines start from here. That's why sometimes when you find that as we move on, we discuss the future, we find that we don't understand, we remind each other to say, here is where we are. So
So that was the reason. It was not intended to repeat. It was to say, when you say we said we do jobs here, we are going to bench it nice, we're going to do this, we are still moving from there. Other things, new things come out because of the interventions, because of the problem that we're talking about. When we begin to say, now we must see the zoom in into the mining towns, because the dynamics of the economy that is actually telling us something about we must implement some of the things that we say we'll do in this infrastructure into it. So we introduce that and we raise that. And we're saying, in the work that has been done, that's the work after introducing all the activities that we must do, in this period, we need to focus now on consolidation of initiative at the provincial level, and that's exactly where we're going. And also consolidating our work, that we're just indicating that this is the work that has been done, and this is what is still remaining. We must still strengthen our agencies in order to identify that we're actually going in. Just to be specific on this, this is showing the current. If we don't do anything, this is what is going to happen. This is going to burn. So, if you look at page 15, it says these are the things that we are focusing on. And these are the things that we're monitoring now. And we are emphasizing that they should be carried out and those projects are put in place. So that we don't have that picture that is there, so that we hold that value in order to grow up. That is the intention, and I don't think that I should comment on the issue of industrialization, and those are the issues that part of the things that we're talking here on as we go on, because it's within that framework of taking them and move them into the province and move them into the local identify in more other issues and add on them.
Thank you very much, sir. It's interesting from what passion comes from this department. Listening attentively to what they're saying, it's very important that it brings confidence to the country and the public. So thank you very much for that. To lead from the class with your elective. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we are against time. We want to thank the entire department, CFO, and the board. We can talk later to one another. Compare the notes. And I think that would be from the department point of view and the list you. The process would be that we will have our own thoughts in terms of this meeting. And if there's further clarity, we will always interact with the nation so that we get more information. We are looking forward in getting some of those documents so that we are more empowered for the future. Our aim is to assist them to work together with the community and also hold you accountable for possible. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you very much, Chair. The operation has been
Let's move along. So thank you very much. I ask the member to meet behind and the front shuttle 1 minute. Thank you very much for helping me to run along. Help us.
Can I propose the option of the
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. First and foremost, Vila, the Minister of the Last meeting to have heard on the 25th of June. Any correction? Those minutes? If not, then the proposal on the table that has been moved by Honorable Member of Moku. Any favor to the adoption of this minute? So the minutes have been agreed upon by the select committee as a true reflection of our last meeting. The second issue, so that is also to the signing off, can I go to the announcement? The announcement is that tomorrow there is a meeting of task force. It starts at 2. Task force tomorrow. At M314 Max Building. M7 for Max Building, of course. Max Building 314, third floor. Room 214. That's the first thing. It's somewhere at V27, it's 314, M314. Are we all at it? The second one, ladies and gentlemen, there is an invitation that we received from Mama Fubilis. There's a Shale Gate Conference. Shale Gate Conference on the 23rd and the 4th of July 2014. They are inviting this committee for that conference. It is at